It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC, airing throughout the New York, New Jersey metro area and worldwide at MYBradio.com and on the 77 WABC app. Yes, thank you, New York. The Nielsen ratings have us consistently in the top 10 in New York AM radio. Nielsen, of course, is the global measurement and data analytics company. We thank you for the confidence that you have in the show in delivering great, important business content week in and week out. We cover such a wide range of categories and professions, including sales, social media, corporate culture, leadership, strategic planning, banking, marketing and advertising, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you'll gain solid, important advice to get you and your company ahead in the business world. Well, as we do each week, we're going to open with some thank yous. Special thank you to the great team here at BLMG. Srili, Michal, Avigail, Malka, Miriam, thank you. And to the great folks at 77 WABC, Glenn, James, Matt, Leslie, Chris, Tim, thank you. Also, we're syndicated on many channels. We have a robust YouTube channel. Tonight's show will turn into a video episode on the YouTube channel because of its importance. And it's radio, so keep you in suspense for another 30 seconds here. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, the OG Podcast Network, and many others, so you can consume it on the platform of your choice. And therefore, tonight's show is exclusively dedicated, brought to you by Investors Bank, to the PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program. The questions from the front lines, that's what we're going to be addressing. And my guests are none other than Michael McIntyre, Head of Business Banking at Investors Bank, Zacharia Waxler, CPA, Co-Managing Partner at Roth & Company, and Aaron Golding, Esquire, tax attorney at Roth & Company. Now, the federal government just extended the program to August 8th, but tonight's program is all about the ins and outs and specifically focusing on loan forgiveness. Because let's face it, if all the companies out there handled it correctly and understand how to process their loan forgiveness, then they could be potentially forgiven on the entire loan. And that's why we have Michael McIntyre from Investors Bank. Investors Bank is they're approaching their centennial anniversary. They opened back in 1926. They have over 150 retail branches in the Newark, New Jersey metro area. Roth & Company was founded over four decades ago. They have four locations worldwide. They have a team of over 150 specialized people ready to service your company and guide you through the complicated maze of the financial world. Therefore, again, tonight's program, the PPP, Paycheck Protection Program, questions from the front line. I'm joined here by Michael McIntyre, Zachariah Wexler, and Aaron Golding. Thank you so much for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Thanks, it's great to be here.
Okay, an important disclaimer. This episode was recorded during the week of Monday, June 29th. The federal government is tweaking the details on an ongoing basis, and therefore, please make sure to get the latest up-to-date information when making your decisions, number one. And also, just an important point in general, although the experts on tonight's program are sharing important tips about the guidelines of the SBA's PPP, nevertheless, contact your specific accountant, lawyer, or financial advisor for specific guidance. I'm going to open by turning to Michael McIntyre. Michael, it's great to have you back on the show. What are you seeing from you're on the front lines for Investors Bank. What are you seeing from your customers on the front lines?
Yitzhak, thanks and great to be here. We've just come out of the most extraordinary 4 months, I think, in anybody's career, let alone mine. And and talking to business owners over the last 120 days, I think for anybody who's owning their own business right now, uncertainty. I think uncertainty is still out there, but I got to tell you, especially here in the Northeast, as we have started to introduce phase one and phase two of the recovery and coming back into the offices and coming back to work and coming into manufacturing, we're seeing tremendous built-up demand. We're seeing a lot of demand that customers that have been closed for several months or working in a reduced capacity for several months, when they're reopening, they're seeing tremendous demand particularly in the service industries, in light manufacturing, in the not-for-profit space. Don't forget, not-for-profits have been, you know, substantially injured over the last 4 months with this pandemic. And as we see New Jersey, New York getting to phase one and into phase two, and hopefully phase three and four in the days and weeks ahead, we're just seeing, you know, tremendous demand. And I'll use myself as an example. Mm-hmm. I had my first haircut on Saturday in over 3.5 months. And aside from
why you chickened out of coming into the studio till now. I knew there was a reason.
But I got to tell you, you know, getting out and seeing your local coffee shop or your restaurant or your barber, right? Or doing some retail shopping and things along those lines. That demand has always been there, but it has always been capped. And I think now, particularly here in the Northeast, we're starting to see some of that demand be released. And we're seeing people come back to work, and we're seeing industries slowly reopen. And I think that's the key, is, you know, slowly, you know, taking into account the health concerns that that the CDC and various government regulators have put out there. And again, you know, talking to customers and talking to prospects, especially, we're just seeing tremendous demand and advice. People looking for advice and counsel, and so we're trying to provide that wherever we can.
So what's special is, because really my next question was, what are you seeing now compared to when the lockdown began? But you're seeing light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, I would say that I'm seeing a tremendous amount of reinvention of industries in terms of business. Again, I'll use the barber analogy for me. The way I received my haircut was very, very different than what it was, you know, 2 or 3 months ago. But I got to tell you, you know, in talking to business owners, yes, they're optimistic. Yes, they're looking forward to taking care and fulfilling this demand. But there's also a tremendous amount of anxiety. Will this thing flare up again? Am I taking the right precautions and procedures? Do I have the right advisors? Is my bank going to be there for me? Is my accountant aware of what's happening with PPP, which is what we're talking about this evening? And so I think there's a lot of uncertainty, which drives anxiety. But, you know, we've achieved what I would call escape velocity from this thing in terms of hopefully getting back into a way of doing business again. But I got to tell you, in talking to the customers and just experiencing it myself, I'm just seeing a total reinvention of business, particularly here in the Northeast.
Now, Michael, as of course we have experts from Roth & Company joining us for the program, but as it applies to the Paycheck Protection Program, the SBA keeps issuing interim final guidelines. And I understand that for a banker that has meaning, or what does that mean?
I say this following. The SBA has in the last 3 months done more lending than they've done in the last 20 years. Right, they've stood up a program that put together essentially a $400 billion of credit origination to small and medium-sized businesses. And while they've done a great job in helping us as banks to lend money, they continue to issue interim final guidelines, which again is a bit of a play on words, but again, we've all come through an extraordinary 120 days, the public sector, the private sector, not-for-profits. And while it's a bit challenging to continue to get updates on interim final guidelines from the SBA, they're doing the best that they can.
Got you. I'm going to turn to Zacharia Wexler of Roth & Company. Zacharia, it's great to have you back on the program.
It's a pleasure to see you again, Yitzhak.
Thank you. Thank you. So what are you're on the front lines. You represent businesses, small businesses, large businesses. What are you seeing in terms of people making it through this most challenging period of their lifetimes?
So I've been saying this from almost day one, and we've been just seeing this as time passed. You know, it's just amazing. What we've been seeing is the business owners who are innovative are going to figure out a way not only how to survive, but how to really, really thrive in this situation and thrive in almost any situation. And lots of people and businesses have made strategic moves and changes over this time period. And then we're going to see businesses who are less innovative, and they're not going to be making changes, and they're just going to sit on the side and wait to stay out. That doesn't mean that their business is going to shut. That doesn't mean they're going to have any problems with their business, but what it does mean is that they're just not as innovative and taking advantage of it. And it's just amazing to watch that. I mean, we've had clients come back, come back, even though we're not entirely back, but let's for argument's sake, mm-hmm. say we're back. Mm-hmm. They've been coming back and saying, I spent 3 months thinking about my business, and I just created a strategic plan that they would probably never have created in the past. Just to be able to not only plan about the new situation, but just to be able to plan of how they're going to take their business to the next level. And just to you know, add to what Michael just said, you know, the coffee shops and this, and any other businesses, really, the service is here and people want it. But the question we're asking ourselves, and we're going to watch and see what happens. How long will it take them to recover the 3 months time that they lost? You know, maybe they'll be able to survive going forward. And there've been these programs and the PPP and there are other and the EIDL loans. But how long will it really take them to survive just this gap, this 3 month gap? And this is something we're just going to wait and see what happens.
But Zachary, you brought up a great point that I've heard big experts talk about, and that is, in one respect, obviously it was a terrible situation that we've all been through in this pandemic. But in one respect, we've been given the gift of time. And for those intelligent business owners out there, they took a step back and say, you know what, I have time to think now. I've never been able to think outside of my box. I now can think outside of my box. And you've seen that with some of your customers, some of your clients.
Oh, we're seeing it plenty. And it's just really nice to see that there are people who are really, you know, really on top of their game. It's it's not necessarily the largest businesses. I'm positive that, you know, the large CEOs, and if they're successful, they're successful for a reason, and they probably did do some of that. But you know, but an average size, you know, middle market business to take that opportunity and really plan, that's something that's really nice to see.
My guests this evening are Michael McIntyre, head of business banking at Investors Bank, Zachariah Wexler, CPA, co-managing partner at Roth & Company, and Aaron Golding, tax attorney at Roth & Company. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Ever wished, as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events, that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is, you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com, where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. DaleCarnegie.com.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings, to finish a project. When do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting sign up to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. These free 1 minute or shorter business class video clips cover building trust, finance, leadership, marketing, branding, goal setting, among many other primary business topics. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram, or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting sign up to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Again, text sign up on WhatsApp to 718-594-6519, or follow at Business Class Clips on Instagram to receive your free business class every day from celebrity business leaders. Business Class on Instagram or WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
The future that you envision for yourself and your business is totally attainable. You need support along the way. And as entrepreneurs, having a team around you that supports you in achieving what that vision is vital. And that is something that the Covenant Group is committed to delivering.
Most of the times that people come to the Covenant Group, usually it's that they want to enjoy what they're doing, they want to have more quality time, or they want to have financial independence or financial security.
My name is Keith Deming.
I'm Norm Traynor.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business.
We are, in essence, design engineers, and we're helping entrepreneurs design the business that's right for them and then execute.
the idea of having somebody coach you through the hard times in the business and think through what it is to have an inventory of client activity and what it is to build a base of revenue and to think like a business person, it's just not common in our industry.
My name is Mark Parton.
I'm Dean Harder.
I'm Alvin Brown.
I'm Jay Langford.
My name is Luc Godet.
I'm Andrew McKinnon, and I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
Building a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. Tonight's show, PPP, Questions from the Front Lines. And in particular, we're focusing on the loan forgiveness aspect. How great is that? What a great program that the federal government put up in relatively no time. I mean, it was like instant, a matter of weeks. They scrambled, they came together, and you know, many thousands of businesses have benefited from it. And of course, it trickled down and affected millions, many, many millions of Americans. I open by turning to Zacharia. Roth & Company has been servicing clients for over four decades. How has the combined experience from Abe on down and the whole team prepared you for this crisis that no one could have been prepared for?
You know, I don't think, I mean, obviously no one saw, you know, no one saw COVID before, right? But I don't think over the 40 plus years that we have as a, you know, as a combined experience in terms of as combined firm, and the, I guess, hundreds of years of experience that we have, that there isn't one crisis or one situation that we don't have a perspective and can't help. Do we have the answers to everything? No, of course we don't have the answers to everything, but we have the perspective. We can guide people in that process. And that is really, really what, you know, what we have and what we're able to offer. Now, you're calling it a financial crisis. Is it a financial crisis? Is it like a forced financial correction? I'm not even sure about the answer yet, and we don't know that yet, right? But that's basically what it is right now. We're calling it a financial crisis, but like I said before, also we don't know how that translates. We don't know what's going to happen. We have, you know, all these different specialists in different areas and no industries, and we kind of just have that ability to guide people through this and just have, you know, someone to bounce things off. It's not about preparing for this crisis. It's about preparing to help our businesses.
The next question I'm going to turn first to Mike, and that is, how is Investors Bank helping its clients prepare for the loan, for the eventuality that hopefully they will be forgiven on their PPP loan?
Yeah, it's a great question. This is a very interesting time in that we're still making loans and also at the time preparing to forgive loans. And so the bank has reached out to every single one of its customers that received a PPP loan, whether it be in April or May. And we've essentially said to them that they're going to have an assigned relief officer from the bank that will help them walk through the process of obtaining forgiveness. We've also established a resource center on our website, investorsbank.com/PPP forgiveness. And we've also done several webinars in the last 3 to 4 days. And we're publishing those webinars on a regular basis. We're putting them online. And we're making sure that that our customers have access to those on demand and to get them some more insight as to how they can get ready for what's going to be a really busy summer.
Yeah. Now, my next question is to Zacharia or Aaron Golding, who's been patiently waiting to jump in. He is the a brilliant tax attorney who's part of the Roth & Company team. So he's been a go-to resource, and I've seen his name all over the place, and for good reason. What type of documentation should a recipient of PPP of the PPP loan start preparing already now?
That is a fantastic question for people to be able to prepare in advance rather than scrambling at the end. What we are telling people is to make sure to gather together whatever documentation you have about the money that you spent. If they want you to spend your money in a certain way, you need to show that you spent your money in a certain way. So if you're going to spend your money on payroll, you're going to want to be able to keep your payroll records, your 941s, your payroll records that you're filing with the state. You want to keep those if you're have any canceled checks, any type of payroll payments that you're making, for utility payments that you're making, you're going to want to keep those canceled checks just to show that you made those payments. And another important thing that you could be doing now is keep an invoice or a lease from something earlier than February 15th, 2020, because your rent payments are only going to be forgivable on lease payments that were in effect from February 15th. So you want to make sure to keep a copy of your lease and or an invoice, making sure that you have had your lease going on since February 15th.
Got it. Now, recently, the guidelines, again, earlier in the month of June, the guidelines changed from 8 weeks to 24 weeks. The question now is, when does the 24 weeks begin? Can a company wait to activate the loan until business starts returning to normal capacity?
A fantastic question. The answer is, the day that you get the loan is when your weeks start. Your 24 weeks or your 8 weeks, whatever you choose, it starts the day that you get the loan. You can't choose when you want to start your covered period. Mm.
Now, I'm joined in the studio by Michael McIntyre, a dear friend and head of business banking at Investors Bank. So we're going to co-host this together. Is that okay?
Sounds like a plan, Yasak.
Michael, I hand it over to you.
So, Aaron, I have some real life questions here that I'm dealing with in the business bank, and the first one that I get a lot about is our self employed private contractors. Their concern is, does the 24 week window allow them to capture only 75% of the salary if they're paying themselves, or can they go up to 100%?
They could go up to 100% if somebody is self employed. That's a main advantage, big advantage to this 24 week extension. Is now self-employed people that are independent contractors that got a loan amount of, let's say, $20,833, they can get that fully forgiven now that there's a 24-week period.
So I'm going to jump in here. Can 100% of the funds be used for payroll so that the company, I mean, listen, obviously every company wants to try to obtain loan forgiveness. So let's say they got $100,000, and they know that their payroll, you know, on an average month is $25,000. So in 4 months, they could burn through that payroll money. Can they just divide out that their PPP funds and only use it for payroll, and they'll have regular income provide for the expenses on everything else?
100%. They certainly can. It's called the Paycheck Protection Program for a reason. If you use it all on payroll, all the better. That's great.
I'm going to hand it over to Mike.
So another question I'm getting from our customers. With the recent extension of the period to spend the loan from 8 weeks to 24 weeks, how does this impact the time period of calculating the number of employees kept on staff?
That's a great question, Mike. One of the things that business owners know about this PPP forgiveness is that the government wanted people to keep their headcount and not to be laying people off. So therefore, they give businesses a penalty for laying people off. So it's important to know, because they extended the 24 weeks, they're also extending the covered period to keep your headcount up. So it's important to keep that in mind when deciding, do I want to choose the 8 week period or the 24 week period? Because you're going to want to be looking at that to see how long you are able to keep your headcount up.
Now, I'll jump in here. Headcount, that's a tall order, perhaps, because, you know, let's say you have a firm that had 50 people, and I believe that this question we may touch on again later, but it's just such a key question now. And that is, they had 50 people, but some people, because of the pandemic, they moved to a different part of the country. They're just not part of the team, and not because the company doesn't want to hire them, but because they're just, whatever, life has circumstance. Just like in any regular business, there's turnover. So does the headcount have to be maintained, or do the people that were on the bus, does it have to be those same people, which in most cases is close to impossible?
Great question. It does not have to be the same people on the bus. So the main thing is just keeping the headcount. The government just wants to make sure that people are employed. So therefore, if somebody decided to leave, you can replace them. And not only that, you brought up an interesting point about if somebody voluntarily leaves and somebody does not want to come back, then you're not going to be penalized for that, even if I can't hire somebody else.
So, Aaron, my next question is similar to something we brought up before, but for many companies, again, the payroll and the lease payments itself can be entirely consumed by PPP funds. So, as you mentioned before, that's of course, those are forgivable. So I guess it would behoove a company, if they know that they're going to consume their PPP funds, just keep it ideally for everything that's outlined in the program's guidelines.
That would be a fantastic idea.
Okay. Another key question is that if a company winds up, let's say they – actually, you know what? I want to go to the following. There's a bit of confusion about there were different percentages out there. When the PPP –
Confusion? About the PPP? No, sir, that's impossible.
When it first came out, there was talk about 60% or actually 75% had to go towards their designated expenses. And then it seems it was lowered to 60%. Perhaps you could really break that out and explain that to the audience.
Sure. Originally, in the law, it didn't say any percentage when the PPP law first came out. And then the SBA came out with this rule that at least 75% needed to be spent on payroll. And then there was a lot of hullabaloo from the industry about businesses that weren't able to even open. And therefore, there's no way they could spend 75% on payroll. And therefore, it based on this new law, the Flexibility Act, that was passed June 5th, they decided to reduce the amount to 60%. So again, at least 60% now has to be on payroll. It could be more. And at the other 40%, the other up to 40% can be spent on utilities, rent, and other of those types of forgivable costs.
Another key question. If a company winds up, let's say 80% of their funds went specifically as indicated in the PPP guidelines, but 20% they bought new computers and whatever, can they still be forgiven on the 80%, or does it disqualify their entire loan?
That's a great question. They can still get forgiveness on the part that they spent correctly. They don't want to spend the money on anything which would be considered an unauthorized use of funds. So you wouldn't want to take the money and give a distribution to the owner or something like that. That might disqualify the whole loan and then get forgiveness. But using it for other business purposes that are not going to disqualify the whole loan, that'll just turn into a 1% loan. Right, you just won't be forgiven on it.
Right. And with the bankers in the room, 1% is not too bad. I turn it over to Mike.
Thanks. It's like, Aaron, so we're getting this question now. As you know, as we get to the end of the PPP cycle, you know, we've seen quite a few requests come in, particularly in the last 2 weeks, from self-employed business owners that have all of a sudden realized, you know, at the end of the program, that they may be eligible to apply for PPP. The question that we're getting is, I'm applying for the PPP program in mid to late June. I expect to get the proceeds in July. Can I apply for unemployment for the period of time prior to my PPP application?
Great question. I'm getting that a lot. The answer is yes. There's no reason why they shouldn't be able to qualify for unemployment until they get the PPP funds.
Okay. Michael, I'm sure you've been asked this question. You know, if there's a is there a deadline to apply for forgiveness? Perhaps any other questions you have on this, that, you know, regarding, you know, everyone wants to get this loan forgiven. I mean,
so the forgiveness deadline is one of those to be determined interim final guidelines that we as lenders expect to hear from the SBA. And even though we're past PPP now, it was a great program. It helped out hundreds of thousands of people keep their job. You know, I want to remind people that the SBA is still open to do business, particularly here in the Northeast and candidly across the country. You know, there are disaster loans available that the SBA will make today to an impacted business. Now, you have to pay it back, but the terms are favorable. There are maturities that go out beyond 10 years. And so if you've been impacted and you've missed PPP and you've missed the opportunity, there are still other loan programs out there that are available through the SBA directly, SBA.gov. And I would encourage anyone that that wasn't sure about PPP to definitely explore some of the other loan programs. And obviously, you know, an unselfish plug, but, you know, we'd be happy to help them out here at Investors Bank. Yeah, so Aaron, you know, on that point with regards to forgiveness and the deadline, you know, we continue to remind our customers and our prospects to consult with their professional partners, their accountants and their lawyers. What's your view on this? How do you think it's going to shake out at the end of the day?
Yeah, that's a great question. One of the things I want to point out about the, even though there's no deadline, based on this new law, a borrower now has 10 months from the end of their covered period, whether the 8 weeks or the 24 weeks, to get their forgiveness application in. If not, then they have to start making payments to their lender of principal and interest. So it's important to do it. It's very interesting to see how it will shake out. None of us have ever gone through the forgiveness application. So it's something that's really exciting to see. I believe that the banks will be deluged. They're trying to do their best to allocate resources to be able to do this and still do what they do on a regular day, and the SBA the same way. So, you know, the bottom line process is going to be, it's going to, the banks have a 60-day window once you apply for forgiveness to give the SBA a decision in terms of whether whether they think that the borrower, the business, should get forgiveness, partial forgiveness, full forgiveness. And the SBA then has 90 days to review it and take a deep dive if they want to. We do know that the SBA has said that any loans that are above $2 million, they plan to give more scrutiny to. So, you know, it's basically from the time that you give it up to 150 days before a basic decision is made. And then you're talking about a 6-year window from there for the SBA to come back and audit. So it's important to keep whatever documentation you have for at least 6 years.
So it sounds like we're preaching the same thing. Be patient.
Correct.
Well, the good news is that this entire episode, as each week, will be up on the archives by Tuesday morning. And that's important because there are many people tuning in right now and saying, I can't believe it. I missed the first part of the show. No worries. At MYBradio.com, this will be up permanently, and you'll be able to consume it on the channels that you prefer. It's also going to turn into a YouTube segment, which is quite important because of all the great content that was shared thus far by Michael McIntyre, head of business banking at Investors Bank, Zacharia Wexler, co-managing partner at Roth & Company, and Aaron Golding, tax attorney at Roth & Company. But we're not done yet. After the commercial break, what we're going to do is we're going to turn to Michael. Michael's on the front lines. He's the head of business banking at Investors Bank. He is going to share a number of scenarios of clients out there, and I would imagine this would cover probably 60 to 80% of the rubric of the types of clients that Investors services and that have benefited from PPP. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
To be successful, you need to understand what you do best and do more of it.
One of the gifts I believe that we have as entrepreneurs is to be blue sky visionaries, come up with amazing ideas, yet you're only as good as your execution. I've always had coaches my entire life. Once I got into business, coaching for me was a natural must-have. What I found in the past was most coaching programs were more focused around me earning a certain amount of income or taking a certain amount of time off, versus me building a business that has value far beyond me. As soon as I engaged the Covenant Group, I could distinctly see that difference.
Working with the Covenant Group, I've gotten away from being controlling about so many of the facets of our business. It has given the people that are in my organization freedom to be creative, freedom to actually develop better ways to do things. I need a coach to help evaluate those things I'm blind to. If you have a blind spot, you don't see it. Without the coach, the process in and of itself is powerful, but the coach makes it work for a guy like me, and I think, frankly, for most people.
one of the greatest benefits of working with the Covenant Group is helping to identify what is it I do best.
My name is Keith Deming.
I'm Norm Traynor.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings to finish a project. When do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting SIGNUP to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
Ever wished as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com, where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. dalecarnegie.com.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. Tonight's special show is all about PPP loan forgiveness, and that's why we have with us in studio Michael McIntyre, head of business banking at Investors Bank, and we're joined by Zachariah Wexler, co-managing partner at Roth & Company, and Aaron Golding at Roth & Company. For this segment, what I'd like to do is turn to Michael. Michael is head of business banking at Investors Bank. Michael, you're on the front lines. You're seeing businesses of all types, B2C, B2B, even nonprofits, right? Because nonprofits benefited from the PPP. Perhaps you could now ask Zachariah and, of course, Aaron, any questions that from the vantage point of specific types of businesses that Investors serves.
Yeah, it's like, thanks for the opportunity. So, you know, as we get to the end of PPP now and start to talk about forgiveness, you know, we're getting a lot of questions around, you know, do I need to maintain the exact number of employees at the company had before the virus? You know, that really applies to consulting companies and service companies. What's your view on that, Aaron?
That's a great question. You do need to, unless you're going to be able to qualify for a safe harbor, which hopefully we'll get into some details about, but as a general rule, you do need to keep your headcount, which means the same number of employees you had before the pandemic. You should make sure that at the time you apply for forgiveness, when you got the money, that you used it to make payroll, that you have the same amount of employees. Otherwise, there's going to be a penalty and you're going to have a reduction in forgiveness for that. So yes, you don't have to have the same employees, but the same amount of employees, as a general rule, you should have, unless you qualify for a safe harbor.
But Aaron, you touched on that. Can you explain us what a safe harbor is?
Sure. So basically, a safe harbor means if you have a good excuse for not keeping your headcount up. So for example, if some of your employees left on their own volition, or you had to fire them for cause, or you simply could not open because of guidance. If the CDC said that you have to have 6 feet in between all your customers, and my restaurant could only be open and have all the employees that I have. If I scrunch everybody at a bar or at a table, then I have a valid excuse for not keeping my headcount up. Those are safe harbors. Those are reasons why I am not going to be penalized for my reduction in headcount. Another one is if I restore my headcount before December 31st, if I have an opportunity to, maybe even after the summer, I have an opportunity to restore my headcount and rehire them. That's an opportunity that's also going to be a safe harbor where I'm not going to be penalized for my loss of headcount before that.
So, Aaron, we're getting a lot of questions from business owners, and they're really, to their credit, looking to take care of their own employees first, right? They're putting their employees first.
That's great.
If an owner draws a salary of over $100,000, should he or she avoid taking a salary from the PPP program?
That's a great question. There really is no prohibition on them taking a salary. And in fact, a certain amount of owner's salary is allowable and is forgiven. So therefore, there's a certain amount that, let's say they take the 24 weeks, the owner of the business is going to get up to $20,833 forgiven. So that's totally okay for them to take. What I think they should not do, if somebody is a business received a large loan that's going to be audited by the SBA, and then they take a large distribution, like you mentioned, more than $100,000, they're going to take a large distribution from that. I would shy away from that because the purpose of this program is to keep people employed, not to make people wealthy.
Well, speaking of wealth, we talked a little bit before about not-for-profits, and that's a huge target market for Investors Bank. Getting a lot of questions about not-for-profits that may have closed permanently or may have been impacted such that they were on higher education and aren't going to reopen now until the fall, however that may look. What's your view on what a private school should be doing these days or a not-for-profit in that regard?
That is a great question. I get about 20 of those calls a day from those types of situations. And each situation is different, and they should definitely speak to their advisor in terms of figuring out how to maximize their forgiveness and keep their nonprofit business afloat, whatever it is that they do to serve the community. But as a general rule, this extension to 24 weeks gives nonprofits that have been closed, such as schools, it gives them an opportunity to have a larger runway to be able to open up and ramp up their business and be able to spend their PPP funds on payroll, which is what it's supposed to do. So therefore, if they were shut down because of government regulations, well, that's going to be a safe harbor because they were not able to open. So they're not going to be penalized for that loss of full-time equivalent of headcount. However, they want to make sure to use their money on forgivable costs like payroll, rent, utilities. So therefore, this I would advise in many of those cases, I end up advising them to choose the 24-week period and be able to take your time and ramp up your school or nonprofit appropriately.
So, Aaron, you just mentioned about the 8-week, the 24-week. Does a company that received the PPP or a nonprofit, is that an option that they have to either go for it for the 8 weeks and burn it through? I would imagine most companies even prefer to keep the 24. Perhaps you can explain that.
That's a great question. So there are two options when you apply for forgiveness. The SBA has now released two applications. One is called an EZ application for certain circumstances, and I'll give the short explanation of when you qualify to do the EZ application, because if you can, that's going to really help you and help your bank. But if you're self-employed without employees, you're in for the EZ application. If you have not lost you haven't laid off anybody. There are some businesses that have been running, essential businesses. They've been running from, before the pandemic all the way through. They would also qualify for the EZ application. And another one is if you did have some employee loss, but you have a good excuse for it, like we've spoken about before. You have one of those safe harbors. I couldn't operate my business because I was shut down. Then I will qualify for the easy application. But in terms of the question of 8 versus 24, on the application, whether it's the easy application or the regular application, it is going, one of the first things that they ask you on the application is, when does your covered period start? And the answer to that is going to be the day that you got the loan. So you'll find out when the money was placed into your account. That's when your covered period starts. The then the 24-week period is also, it's going to say, when does your covered period end? And you are given a choice as to whether you're supposed to put the 56 days from the beginning, you know, which is your 8-week period, or are you going to count 24-week period? So on the top of your application is when you're going to say when my covered period ends. And it's either the 8-week period or the 24-week period. And there are advantages to disadvantages of each. I'll tell you at Roth & Company, what we are doing right now is we're running the numbers for all of our clients. And we have to be able to crunch the numbers to see which one works better. So some people want to get it over with. Some people want to make sure I don't really know exactly what's going to happen tomorrow, let alone in the fall, the winter. Is there going to be another wave? Am I going to have to worry about FTE loss that's going to happen in the fall? So therefore, some people want to get over with in the 8 weeks. And something that it is important to know is that one of the recent interim final guidance is that we now can apply for forgiveness at any time, even during your covered period. So many people ask, well, if I choose the 24-week covered period, do I have to wait until the end of the 24-week to apply? And the answer is no. You could actually apply as soon as you want. As soon as you spend the money, by all means, apply.
So Aaron, this is the number one question that I'm getting from our customers, and I'm talking to dozens of customers a day. As we're getting into phase one and phase two and hopefully phase three in the days and weeks ahead, my customers are trying to bring back people that they furloughed or laid off during this pandemic. And they're finding out that some of these employees are actually making more money with the unemployment and the unemployment benefit. How should our business customers document this exercise? I mean, we're getting a lot of folks that are really concerned about taking the funds out, but not being able to spend them in the appropriate period of time, and then trying to recall employees that simply just don't want to come back.
Yeah, that's a really fantastic question. And businesses and employees all across the country are asking that question. So what I'd like to do is maybe give the technical PPP answer, but also the people answer, which I think, you know, you have to make sure to keep track of the forest and don't lose the forest for the trees. So, you know, technically the answer is that if somebody doesn't want to come back to work, what you have to do in order to be able to not be penalized for your FTE loss is to document in writing your offer to them, and then document their refusal, and then report them within 30 days of their refusal to the Department of Labor of their state to let them know that you offered them a job and that they refused. That might not be the best way to keep your employees happy long term and for, you know, long term relationships with them. But in terms of technically not being penalized for the FTE loss, it would be okay to send them a written offer and then just document their refusal and keep it in your records. I would say, as a better option, if the person has a valid safe harbor to use, which is one of the other ones that we spoke about, which is to rehire them before December 31st, rehire the same amount to get you back up, rather than forcing them to get off of unemployment right now when you might not have any work for them to do, might not be the best idea. And the other one is, if you had to be closed because of COVID-19 guidance, that would also be a valid excuse. And then you wouldn't have to force them to come back and get into this situation where you have to send them the written offer and then tattle on them to the unemployment
office. So Aaron, one last question for me. And again, this has been really helpful to me. Hopefully it'll help me with my customers in the days and weeks ahead. You know, we're seeing some flare-ups in the South and in other key states that have a connection to New York and to New Jersey. What happens if business slows down after the PPP period and employees are unfortunately have to be laid off? Does that have an impact on the covered period?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the bottom line is that once a person applies for forgiveness, once their covered period is over and they apply for forgiveness, or if they apply for forgiveness before the covered period is over, if business goes down and they have to lay people off after that, that's not going to impact their PPP. It's going to impact the business, it's going to impact the customers, and certainly the employees. But in terms of the PPP, there's nothing saying that the business owner has to keep these people employed for 6 months or a year or anything like that. Nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow.
Wow. What an important program. What an important show brought to you by Investors Bank. We're going to wrap up. We have only a couple of minutes left. We're going to turn to Michael and Zacharia and Aaron for closing thoughts, but just an important reminder, this episode was recorded during the week of Monday, June 29th, and the federal government is tweaking, interim final, but they are tweaking the details on an ongoing basis, and therefore please make sure to check up when you're applying, when you're filing your paperwork on the latest up-to-date information, number one. Number two, as always, check with your lawyer, with your accountant, with your financial advisor for specific questions that you have about your PPP. So in the roughly 3 minutes we have left, Michael, any final takeaways that you could share with the listeners of Mind Your Business?
Thank you, Yitzhak. So, you know, baseball's coming back, hopefully. And so I would say that, you know, right now I think we're in the third inning of a nine-inning game. You know, we've just come through the origination phase of PPP. I think the next 6 months are going to really be telling in terms of how customers and businesses, you know, come back into the new phases. And to Aaron's words a few moments ago, you know, evaluate over the next 6 to 10 months how they intend to apply for forgiveness. That we've come through this all together, and I think with good sound advice from your financial advisors and accountants and lawyers, we'll get through this together.
Okay, we're going to turn to Zacharia.
Okay, so I think what people need to just remember as they go through this process is that they should understand that even though it feels easy to get all this forgiveness and understand that it feels easy to get these loans, there are rules and regulations, and you need to really know them and follow them, because ultimately, you know, the government, they made it easy and they really needed to save this economy. And I think they're doing a decent job, you know, with it. But knowing that, we don't want to have the people just do whatever they feel they want to do with it. And then, unfortunately, you may need Aaron services in the future, or God forbid, you know, a lot of different attorneys involved. So we really, really want the people to avoid that. And also, let's just hope that there is not going to be another stimulus package in the future. And not because politics, but because we should just not need it anymore.
Beautiful. And Aaron, any closing thoughts?
Sure. I really like what Mike said about patience. There's one of the main things that I learned in this whole epidemic is, you know, something that somebody from Congress said about this PPP loan is that we're trying to build a plane while it's flying. And that's pretty much, everybody's just trying to do their best here, whether it's the SBA, the banks, the professionals, the business owners. So a dose of patience is really helpful. And just in terms of practically, try to see if you qualify for the EZ and make it as easy as possible for your bank to be able to give you quick forgiveness. So therefore, get your ducks in a row, get your documentation ready to be able to prepare, to be able to submit it in a way that the bank doesn't have to try to do loops to figure out what it is. Make it very easy. And don't forget about your business and your people, because that's really what it's out, what it's about long term. And thank you for the opportunity.
Well, thank you, Aaron. And that wraps up an amazing edition of Mind Your Business, exclusively dedicated to the PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program, Questions from the Front Lines, brought to you by Investors Bank. Special thank you to Michael McIntyre, Head of Business Banking at Investors Bank, Zacharia Wexler, Co-Managing Partner at Roth & Company, and Aaron Golding, Tax Attorney at Roth & Company. A reminder, the SBA PPP program was extended through August 8th. So those that have not applied yet, quickly get in. Here's your chance. Go and apply. Well, this wraps up another great edition of Mind Your Business. Tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Saflis has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings to finish a project. When do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting sign up to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.